Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can you guys hear me? Definitely looks as it. Alrighty. If you guys do have any prayer requests, you can put them in, and then, of course, we will begin our study with prayer. Let me try this down. Just in case. All right, if you can, please kneel and please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us and bringing us together on this holy Sabbath day. We ask that you please send your Holy Spirit to please bridle my tongue and any other tongue that speaks on your behalf, that only your truth is uplifted, and that the Godhead may be glorified, and that we may be strengthened, and that all this may be going forward to your glory, and so that we can be strengthened and be made more like Christ. We lift up the prayers that are in the room and all that are in the minds and hearts of your people, and thank you for every opportunity you have granted us to learn the truth and continue to grant to us. It is with the help of your Holy Spirit we pray for these things, and in Jesus' mighty and precious name that we pray. Amen. Alrighty. Yes, Sabbath blessings, everyone. We're going to continue in our study about health reform from that we've been doing for the past some months. And just a brief, very, very, very brief recap. We talked about how man's original diet was fruits and seeds, which are grains, beans, seeds, nuts, pseudograins. Man's diet immediately after sin, the herb of the field was added, with that which we call vegetables. And then after the flood, the clean animals was included into man's diet. And so the very last time that we spoke, we talked about specifically how one should not eat food in between meals. Not even healthy food, so no snacking, nothing like that. So it doesn't matter if it's fruits or nuts, nothing like that should ever pass between the lips. And that after you have eaten your meal, that you should give sufficient time to rest in between your meals. Give your stomach sufficient time between your meals to rest. Which also goes along with the idea of, like, you don't want to eat just before bed, because the stomach needs rest. And also, when you eat, you shouldn't immediately go do something very intense, like intense studying or intense working out, just after eating a meal. So I'll share something that I didn't share last time. From Manuscript 53, paragraph 12. From 1896, it says, as long as food is taken without allowing at least 5 or 6 hours between the meals, the digestive organs are overworked. A late supper taken by one of sedentary habits will produce indigestion and a diminished relish for good food because the food taken is not properly digested through the sleeping hours. The disturbance created sometimes results in paralysis or apoplexy. And is the beginning of an end, which is death. And so we're not eating meals just prior to going to sleep, just prior to engaging in violent exercise. And this word here, apoplexy, which I'm not sure, entirely sure I'm saying that one right, but it comes out to unconsciousness or incapacity resulting from like a hemorrhage or something like that, or a stroke. Okay, so having just, you know, brief recap of things that we've gone over, we want to be sure that we live in strict accordance to the principles of health and the principles of health reform. If we want to get and maintain proper health, and it's not just about health, but there is, there is obviously a spiritual component to this. Hopefully this all fits. Seems like it will. It's a pretty large quote. This is an interesting quote. In Christian Temperance and Bible Hygiene, on page 155, paragraph 3, Sister White says, "The abuses of the stomach by the gratification of appetite are a fruitful source of most church trials." That is interesting. That bolded and underlined. "The abuses of the stomach by the gratification of appetite are a fruitful source of most church trials. Those who eat and work intemperately and irrationally talk and act irrationally. It is not necessary to drink alcoholic liquors in order to be intemperate. The sin of intemperate eating, eating too frequently, too much, and of rich, unwholesome food, destroys the healthy action of the digestive organs, affects the brain, and perverts the judgment, preventing rational, calm, healthy thinking and acting. In order for the people of God to be in an acceptable state with Him, where they can glorify Him in their bodies and spirits, which are His, they must with interest and zeal deny the gratification of appetite and exercise temperance in all things. Then they can comprehend the truth in its beauty and clearness and carry it out in their lives, and by a judicious, straightforward course, give the enemies of our faith no occasion to reproach the cause of truth. God requires all who believe the truth to make special, persevering efforts to place themselves in the best possible condition of bodily health. For a solemn and important work is before us. Health of mind and body is required in this work. It is as essential to a healthy religious experience, to the advancement in the Christian life, to progress in holiness, as is the hand or the foot to the body. God requires His people to cleanse themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. All who are indifferent and excuse themselves from this work, waiting for the Lord to do for them what He requires them to do for themselves, will be found wanting when the meek of the earth, who have wrought His judgments, are hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So where Adam and Eve had chiefly failed was in that they had failed in lacking and having true trust and true faith in God. They doubted God's goodness, and it was through Satan's suggestions that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did not take God's word to mean just as He said. Now, it was through this means, through this doubt and this distrust which they introduced, which Satan introduced into their minds, and then led them to eat of something they should not have partaken of, that caused sin to enter into the world. As appetite has had such an impact upon humanity in the past, so the same is true today. It holds a tremendous effect upon us. Like I pointed out earlier and highlighted earlier, the fact that it says a fruitful source of most church trials, it just proves how important it is to get appetite under complete control. Not some control, complete control. It is God's design to lead humanity to rely upon Him in regards to diet. rather than these things that have been taught to us by the world. Okay, being a Christian is not just about, obviously it is about character, but it's also going to be touching the point of diet. Christianity, the truth, Bible truth, touches all facets of our life. Now, I shared this last time, but just as, to point this out before I move on to something else, but how in Life and Health, July 1st, 1905, paragraph 21, she says, Sister White says, far too much sugar is ordinarily used in food, cakes, sweet puddings, pastries, jellies, jams are active causes of indigestion, especially harmful are custards and puddings, in which milk and eggs and sugar are the chief ingredients. An overabundance of sugar used in foods, and especially when it is combined with milk, as already read, is an active cause of indigestion. And especially in the case where milk and sugar are combined, it is an active cause of fermentation. So it's, you don't even have to drink alcohol. You can basically cause it to be made in your stomach based off of having too much of these things combined. Now, we are commanded through the scriptures not to drink wine or alcohol. But the person who eats so much milk and sugar may as well themselves be considered alcoholics. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So, even though you have modern Christendom that puts forth this idea that it's okay to drink, you know, a little bit of wine or a little bit of this or a little bit of that, it's not. God requires us to completely turn our diets and our tongues and our palates away from these kinds of things because they are not helpful to us. It's not like when you think about something like peanuts. When you eat, some people can eat peanuts, some people cannot eat peanuts. Peanuts are poison to some people. So those people shouldn't eat peanuts. But that doesn't mean that it's not a healthful and a wholesome thing. However, when it comes to something like alcohol, that is a poison to every human being. Not a single person, not one, should drink of alcohol. And not only that, you should avoid, also, like I was pointing out, the combination of milk and sugar. You know, where milk and sugar are these chief ingredients, not only causing indigestion, but also causing fermentation. Avoid those things which even lead to the production of alcohol within the body. Now, it's not a sin to desire to eat something that is sweet to the taste. If you particularly prefer sweet over sour or bitter or even savory things, there is no sin involved there. And this is something that I've stated before, but allow me to explain, like, in regards to, there's not necessarily a sin in regards to having a sweet tooth, which simply just means that someone loves things that are sweet. But it comes to the way in which you satisfy this desire for something that is sweet. When you do desire things that are sweet, it should be of the wonderful fruits which our Heavenly Father which has provided for us, which are not only sweet in taste, but are extremely nutritious. Nutritious in ways that science today still hasn't found out all the ways. Sure, you have your vitamins and your minerals, which have a general understanding, but the phytonutrients and the phytochemicals and other things like that that are found in these fruits, that modern science can't even keep up with the blessings of God. And technically, no human can. This is beyond our understanding. But a meal rich in something like apples and dates and maybe even a little bit of bread is not something that is condemned by God. This also leads me to the thought process of even in regards to carbs and carbohydrates, how people try to demonize carbohydrates in today's society, and they try to make you focus on other things, like focusing on your need to focus highly on protein, or you have people who focus far too much on fat. But there's nothing wrong with the simple sugars and the complex sugars that are found in these plants, which God himself has created. Fruit even has even more than one kind of sugar. You know, it talks about, it has like fructose and sucrose as well. You know, so it has like fruit sugar as well, things that are specifically involved in fruits. And so instead of the very sweet things of the world that are provided in, you know, major markets or even in the smaller stores, which you end up wasting your money on, which are just to satisfy a sweet craving, but don't really provide any helpful nutrition to the body, it's better to trust in God and trust what he has provided for us. He's leading us back to look at his original plan, his original design. And this isn't the first time that he's done this, where he's trying to lead people dietarily to pay attention to that which they're eating, to lead people back to his original plan. Because he tried to do this, keyword, tried to do this with ancient Israel. If you read Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 5, we read the following. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So when ancient Israel had left off the boundaries of Egypt, they were called into the wilderness, and they were journeying unto the promised land. And of course, in their journeys, when you're always traveling like that, especially going through a desert, you have to be fed in some way. But how were they to be fed? And so here lies one of their big problems with ancient Israel, is that instead of asking God and trying to, you know, pray to him and ask for some way to be blessed with food, they murmured, they complained. Which is a very big problem that we have to make sure that when it comes to trial and things we go through, not to murmur and complain when it's very possible that God is getting ready to work a very great miracle for us. Now, he's very merciful unto ancient Israel, that when they murmured, he still provided for them. But how much better would it have been for them if they had not murmured? They remembered the flesh pots that they had in Egypt, and they remembered that they ate bread to the full. But instead of trusting in God and praying, seeing and remembering all his wonderful works that he had done for them, instead of keeping these things in mind, what ancient Israel ended up doing is complaining. Do not complain, just ask. And trust him. If you're obeying him to the best of your ability, if you're keeping his commandments, if you know it, if you can search your heart and you cannot find anything based off of your understanding, because he winks at all of our ignorance, if you cannot find anything in which you have done that is wrong, trust him. It's just a test. It's just a trial. And it will be okay. So something to keep in mind. So simple, but it's also very true, and sometimes difficult in the moment, is that things will be okay. It's just a trial. So the Israelites had entered into a trial where they needed food. And the food that they were thinking about was, okay, these flesh pots and this bread, these are things that we ate when we were in Egypt. Give us this. Give us this thing. But what you're going to see is how God desired to lead them in regards to their diet. And so as we saw earlier, that a diet is a very heavy cause of church trials. So of course it would be a major trial too for ancient Israel. So God told them that he would rain bread from heaven for them every day. Of course, say that on Sabbath, they would get a double portion on the sixth day so that they would prepare for the Sabbath. And it was by this great miracle that God would preserve ancient Israel. Now, Exodus chapter 16, verse 31, says, "And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." So this manna was like a seed, which, as you know, fruits and seeds were man's original diet, like even before sin. So this manna was like a seed, and the taste of it was sweet, like wafers made with honey. And so thus we can see that God took care not just to feed them with something that would be very helpful to their body, but he actually picked out things too that they would find as sweet. He actually picked out something that they would relish. Because that's the thing when it comes to diet. You're supposed to like the things you're eating. If you just find something so distasteful that you don't want to eat it, it's actually best for you not to eat it. If it's that distasteful. Now, it doesn't mean that we confine yourself to one thing because everything doesn't taste like figs or something like that. That's not what I'm saying. But if you don't like the taste of what's in your mouth, you're not going to chew it properly. And if you're not going to chew it properly, you're just going to do your best to swallow it. And then what happens? Digestion, it's harder for your body to digest. You're hindered. No, just find something that has, find something else that has similar properties that are beneficial to the body. If you don't like this one thing that has vitamin A, then find something else that has vitamin A, for example. And so thus we can see that God not only provided for them, but he made sure to take care of the fact that it tasted good to them. And so even though the Lord is pulling us away from these worldly things, these worldly sweets and things like that, sure, it may seem like a trial to give it up. Sure, it may seem difficult to give it up. But he has greater things for us. He has greater tasting things, or at least if it's not as sweet, just still tastes great and is healthy for us. Now, while manna was to be fed to ancient Israel every single day, there was another thing that was granted to them. Remember, they asked for two things, the flesh pots and bread. So in Exodus chapter 16, verse 8, it says, "And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." Something else to keep in mind too. You want to go and you want to complain against, the Lord's servants, those who are actually doing their best to obey the Lord. At some points, it's not even going to be directed at the human being, because obviously humans can make mistakes, but on this point, it wasn't Moses and Aaron. And so even though you might be thinking to direct your murmuring at a human being, you are actually murmuring at God. And so in the evening, time of their complaints, they were to be given flesh to eat, yet in the morning they would be given bread to the full. The provision of quail that they were given, however, was not going to be according to the normal standards by which ancient Israel had eaten previously. For the scriptures do not tell us that they were given quails to eat every single day. What was given for them to eat every day was the manna from heaven. There is always a heavy focus on the manna when you read the book of Exodus and even other places in the scriptures. There's always a heavy focus on this thing, this bread being provided for ancient Israel. Exodus chapter 16, verses 33 to 35. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations, as the Lord commanded Moses. So Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land, to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Again, the focus was always that they were eating angels' food, or food prepared by angels for humanity. And that food was in line with the fact that of humanity's original diet, which contained seeds. But like the way that Adam and Eve failed when it came to diet, eating of something they shouldn't have, because they distrusted God, so did ancient Israel fail upon their diet as well. The holy preparing of this food for ancient Israel to eat, well suited to make them strong and healthy, became a source of their complaints. The scriptures tell us in Numbers 11, verse 4, in the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? In Numbers 11, verse 6, they say, but our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Psalms 78, 18 says, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lusts. This is the focus of this temptation here. They lusted after meat. Remember how I said that they were provided with every single day the manna? God did not do that for them when it came to the quails. God did not do that for them when it came to meat. Sure, he provided it for them in that instance. But after that, it was not a heavy focus. Spiritual gifts, page 15, paragraph 1, says, God continued to feed the Hebrew hosts with the bread rained from heaven, but they were not satisfied. Their depraved appetites craved meat, which God in his wisdom had withheld in a great measure from them. Why would they need to eat the meat? There was no need. And it's something to understand. Remember how we went over about how meat was even introduced into the human diet, or how God even allowed it to be introduced into the human diet. Because the vegetation had been wiped away. If God is providing for you, and He's giving everything that He can for you, if you're living in a place where you can easily get fruits, grains, beans, nuts, seeds, etc., what is the purpose for meat? It has only been shown to be as something that is an emergency, something to be given to the Israelites when there was an emergency. And not just the Israelites, but for mankind. It was something that was provided in an emergency because, okay, everything's wiped out. I want them to live. I'll provide this for them so that they can eat it. It is an emergency food. It is not something we should be subsisting upon daily, weekly, or even monthly. Still the same paragraph. Sister White says, they became weary of the food prepared for them by angels and sent them from heaven. They knew it was just the food God wished them to have and that it was helpful for them and their children. Notwithstanding their hardships in the wilderness, there was not a feeble one in all their tribes. So you remember how they're saying their soul is dried away? That's a lie. Their soul was not dried away. It was an imaginary. Because of the lusts of their flesh, they imagined that something was happening to them that was not happening at all. Satan, the author of disease and misery, will approach God's people where he can have the greatest success. He has controlled the appetite in a great measure from the time of his successful experiment with Eve in leading her to eat the forbidden fruit. He came with temptations first to the mixed multitude, the believing Egyptians, and stirred them up to seditious murmurings. They would not be content with the healthful food which God had provided for them. Their depraved appetites craved a greater variety, especially flesh meats. And so, like I said, flesh meats were introduced into humanity after the flood had wiped out the vegetation. But where there is sufficient food to be eaten, was flesh meat to be eaten? No. And brothers and sisters, this is what God is doing with us. Using the same logic today, we are surrounded by fruits, seeds, grains of all kinds and even vegetables. Should we have any desire to eat meat? Should we eat meat even once? The answer is no. Because as I said before, there's no need to eat it daily. There's no need to eat it weekly. There's no need to even eat it monthly. And especially if we're surrounded by so much food and it's so easy to go grab this and to grab that. Whether it be 4 months, 8 months, 12 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, there is no need. Because as God was leading ancient Israel to give that up, so He's leading us to give this up, to completely eradicate it from our diet, never allowing a single morsel of flesh to enter into our bodies. Christian Temperance of Bible Hygiene, page 119, paragraph 1. Again and again, I have been shown that God is trying to lead us back, step by step, to His original design, that man should subsist upon the natural products of the earth. Among those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord, meat eating will eventually be done away. Flesh will cease to form a part of their diet. We should ever keep this end in view and endeavor to work steadily toward it. I cannot think that in the practice of flesh eating, we are in harmony with the light which God has been pleased to give us. All who are connected with our health institutions especially should be educating themselves to subsist on fruits, grains, and vegetables. If we move from principle in these things, if we as Christian reformers educate our own tastes and bring our diet to God's plan, then we may exert an influence upon others in this matter, which will be pleasing to God. It's just kind of a thing how if you live up to the standard, you will easily be able to point others to the standard. It's harder to point others to the standard if you don't live up to it yourself. This is not a health suggestion, brothers and sisters. This is health reform. Those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord will perfect their diets, and animal flesh shall cease to be a part of it. Much like God tried to take Israel away from flesh. And don't be tempted. Don't allow yourself to be tempted, even if you get into such types of situations, or even if you're tempted, don't bow to the temptation, I should say. Where even if you visit family and they tempt you to eat flesh, don't eat it. If you see friends and you're tempted to eat flesh, don't eat it. Lead them to a higher standard. Point them out to a higher standard. We have a higher calling than they do. We are to live and move up to perfection. That's the standard. The standard is perfection. Not imperfection, but perfection. That's the standard. And so we strive unto perfection. And we can make it. Not because we're great in and of ourselves, but because our God is great. Because he can reform and change our hearts. He can change our lives. So long as we're willing, we will be able. Again, so long as we are willing, we will be able. I'll close it out with this. Numbers 11, verses 31 to 33. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 omers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. So they murmured. God said, okay, you want to murmur, you want to complain, even though I'm providing for you, and you want to imagine evils that are not existing? Okay, I'm going to let you have this thing. And he let them have it. Spiritual Gifts, page 18, paragraph 1. In this instance, the Lord gave the people that which was not for their best good, because they would have it. So you got to be careful sometimes when you keep asking for certain things. Especially if you're asking it after your lust. But continuing, they would not submit to receive from the Lord those things which would prove for their good. They gave themselves up to seditious murmurings against Moses and against the Lord, because they did not receive those things which would prove an injury to them. Their depraved appetites controlled them, and God gave them flesh meats as they desired, and he let them suffer the results of gratifying their lustful appetites. Burning fevers cut down very large numbers of the people. Those who had been most guilty in their murmurings were slain as soon as they tasted the meat for which they had lusted. If they had submitted to the Lord, if they had submitted to have the Lord select their food for them, and had been thankful, and satisfied for the food which they could eat freely of without injury, they would not have lost the favor of God and then been punished for their rebellious murmurings by great numbers of them being slain. Brothers and sisters, let's live to a higher standard. Let's obey God and follow His prescription that He has laid out for us in all points, including diet. And if we struggle, pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for each other. Pray alone. Pray together. Trust in the Lord to help bring us all into perfect unity so that we may be perfect Christians, perfectly representing our wonderful, powerful, great King, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With that, I will put down the mic, and you shall hear a song, and the next voice you shall hear is that of Pastor Nicholas.